Welcome to Ecology 101, the study of nerd and geek in the natural habitat. I'm Gary, and I'm by myself today. But we're still the Knights who say Neek. Neek! Yeah, well, you know what, folks? I know it's been about a long time. I don't know how many months we've been out and about, busy stuff going on, and I'm hoping we're back. I got some busy guys. Rudy and John both have kids in sports, and Aaron's been pretty with school, getting his teacher's credential. Good job, Aaron. And and Ron's got busy stuff going on. He's got his own business going on out there with Casey's Crunchies. Good job, stuff. There's a commercial for you. They got some really good freeze-dry stuff. Check them out on Instagram. And so anyways, trying to get the team together. It's been tough. A lot of stuff's going on. Well, since we've talked last, I have two granddaughters now. Sedona, who is 13 months, and Ellie, who is almost a year old, my daughter and my son. A lot of stuff happened since we talked to you guys. I hope we're doing good out there, and I hope that we can get something going here again. A lot of stuff out. Yes, we've been watching, but we haven't talked about it for a while. But I didn't want to pop anybody's bubble. I want to talk about something that I'm just doing myself and that maybe might encourage you. But so let me just tell you real quick. We often, you know, we'll talk about movies and TV shows and games and things like that. But I think one thing that we kind of overlook are books, because, you know, that's where a lot of things start, are books, right? And I teach an ELD class of Valverde High School. That's my day job. And one of the things I have to get my kids to do is communicate better. So they have a ticket test called the LPAC. Basically, it's basic English stuff, reading, writing, listening, speaking. And so trying to get all the skills together can be kind of tough, because I'm getting kids, I don't know what their past 11 years have been like, but we don't want to try to pass that test before they graduate. So one of the biggest things, and they all talk about it, is, I don't like reading. I don't want to read. And it's a struggle. It really is, because they need to pass this, you got to be able to read and answer questions. So I said, that's a life skill. Because if you can read, you can teach yourself anything. My grandpa, John Cabrera, he probably went as far as fifth grade, I think. But he could read. But he's a really smart guy. And he taught himself all he needed to by picking up a book and teaching himself. Today, of course, people would do internet. But, you know, the skill of reading, being able to read information, take it in, absorb it, use it, and process it is big. So what I do for my kids is I just have a variety of books. And really, to be honest with you, I don't care what they read as long as they're reading. I mean, one kid joked around and had a little kid book. It was like a two-year-old. No. Something within their level or some of high interest. So I've had kids that are, just pick up a book and just read through it. And I said, well, if you don't like it, you don't have to finish it. And surprisingly, a lot of kids, they're all different. They all come at it differently. Some will hem and haw a lot. Some do actually read. You know, it might be slow, but they read, but that's okay. Others find, like, for example, graphic novels. Now, you know, years ago, they talked about that's not a real book, but yeah, it's a good book. It's visual, and it's got the information on there. But, you know, they put so many great graphic novels out there. One girl was reading one on the Diary of Anne Frank. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was really good. I'm actually really into picking those up for my classroom now. I was just going through looking for different kinds that I find historical stuff. I found one on World War One. I think it was called, I can't remember the name of it, Trenches, something or other, but it was really good. And it was very, what they did was they anamorphized, is that the word, I think, with animals? They put them in there. They kind of, in place of a soldier, so it's not as jarring. And it really caught their attention. Now, the one that really caught our kids' attention, I was really surprised, was Maus, M-A-U-S. And a lot of schools, I think, have banned that book because it's intense. It talks about the Holocaust and all that's going on, but they use, I think the Germans are cats and the Jews are mice. Obviously, you can see the parallel there too, is that one would attack the other. But the thing about it is it's supposed to be good, and the kids really just got into it and they read it. I mean, a number of kids read that too. But, it's a start. I found Lord of the Rings one. I popped out The Hobbit, you know, and I said, you know, this is the start. If you want to read the whole thing, you know, there it is. There's the whole book. And so, that works for some kids, you know. And I've also found, I've gone to like Savers, there's a commercial for Savers, which is a thrift store here. I live in Menifee, and it's in Temecula. They have that's my weakness is board games and books. And I just try to find, I'd buy out all of them if I could, but I can't do it. My wife's driving crazy because I already have so many books. But I get the kids to. Oh, I found this is another bookstore. I found these really small. They weren't very big books, but they're kind of like not very daunting. They were the classics, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Time Machine, whatever. But they were small and condensed. And some of the kids were like, these are really good. I go, wait, that's like a gateway drug right there. Here's the real one, And some of the kids have watched the movies, and I go, well, there's a book for that. One of the girls talked about, oh, I really like Winn-Dixie. I saw the movie. I go, there's the book, and the books are always better, right? And I had one gentleman. I go, what is your? Because he didn't know what he wanted to pick. I go, what do you like? What kind of books you like? Oh, adventure and survival and da da da. So I went through my collection. And I found Robinson Crusoe, which that's all about survival skills. The Swiss Family Robinson. They and that one it's kind of cool because they they shipwrecked, but they had all the materials. They're going to New Colony. They had the materials for New Colony and books to teach you how to do it. And they were basically had a whole new world there. Believe it or not, Little House on the Prairie, all about building and constructing your own stuff too. So I found a number of books like that, Hatchet, and he started with a few of those and just started, kept going, and always going to recommend him a book, John Carter of Mars. I got him reading that one. That's a good series. I think he actually took the 5-book one home in the summer. I'm like, oh, I'll give you points for that. I don't care. That's good. But getting kids to read, and that's the whole thing is I tell them just find something you love. Find something that, a topic, a theme. And then of course I'm very upfront and honest. I say, well, my goal here is to start you with something and move you in a direction. So, if you start off with a kid book, maybe they're doing, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. One boy loved all anything. He goes, anything Roald Dahl, I read it. I love it. I go, that's good. You can follow an author. That's perfect. And you kind of know their style. And, I've done that too. I tell teachers, I go, what you could do is maybe start them with one thing, but then this book is like that one, and then this one's like that one. Eventually, they're reading War and Peace, you hope. I had a girl years ago who, before the, what was it? It was basic, ex oh, I can't make this go, but it's a high school exit exam. Don't ask me what it is, but it's another test they had to take. So the kids kind of were, and I said, you got to read, even 15 minutes a day, 10, 15 minutes. And I had one lady, she fought me the whole time. And didn't pass my class. So next time she goes, all right, I'll try. What do you got? And I go, well, what interests you? And then she picked up Charlie and Chocolate Factory. And she goes, oh, that's pretty good. And so she moved on to some other books. Eventually she goes, oh, I've watched Harry Potter, but I've read the books. I go, oh, their books are much better. Well, I guess she just cranked through all those books. And they get big, right? She was smart. She pulled people in and made them bigger. And it was funny because at one point, her boyfriend said, what did you do, my girlfriend? I go, what? What? She goes, she is a reader. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And when she took the test, I think, and I'm not saying this is the only reason why she passed it, but I think that the highest score is 500 and she got a 445. I'm just saying, I mean, I always say reading leads to writing because you see what writing is good and then, good writing. And then speaking, talking about it, and then listening. That's all part of it. It's all connected. So, but this is a good foundation. That's a warm up for what I want to talk about. Is I was going to share with you some of the books I've been reading, and they tie into some of the things we've been watching. So let me start off with this one. If you go to Goodreads and find me on there, I think it's either, yeah, you can kind of find me, Gary Avance. You'll see books I've read, and it might be under GP Avance or my name or Open Press, one of the three. Anyways, but I try to do a little review. I've been really slacking on that lately. I can blame COVID on that, right? Here's, anyways, I want to talk about a few books that I've read recently and some that are on the list of that I'd like to read, and maybe you'll check them out. Okay, so the series, oh my gosh, your mind's gonna go blank. Where is that? Right. Hold on a second. It's The Expanse. So The Expanse, which was on, oh my gosh, you're gonna catch me. Was it Amazon? No. No, the Amazon is anyways. I think that's 5 seasons or something. But there's a book for each season. I guess there's 7 books, so there's more beyond it. Anyways, my son said, "Oh, you check out the book. It's really good." So I did read the first one, which was Leviathan Awakes, and kind of sets up the whole story with the characters. And yes, it definitely does add more to the characterization. And I was really surprised how much was in that first book. that's a lot. You know, got the point of, if you've seen the book, you know, the whole beginning of the war, they're getting the Rocinante and all the characters kind of coming together. And then Miller and all the stuff that they have to do with the proto molecule. If you know the movie, you know it, right? And then how it all, and Julie Meow, sorry. And just basically how they all work together and all the, you know, all their struggle to save Earth from getting destroyed. So it's good. Very lot in one book. It's very good. And he did send me this. I have the second one, but for some reason over Christmas it disappeared. Sorry, Ryan. I'll find it again. But I would like to read all those. I think it'd be really, really good. So I am not the fastest reader. I think, and that's okay. Because, you know, there are some people like Audrey, my daughter-in-law, who, if you ever hear this, she is a monster when it comes to reading. She just can crank stuff out like no nobody's business. And my wife now has really gotten to be a good reader. She reads kind of detective, whodunit kind of things, mysteries, stuff like that. And she has to dabble in fiction. I was really surprised. So anyways, she's more Kindle. I like the books. I like to physically pick up a book too. I can talk about this one too. So I went to a men's Bible study in Temecula. There's a gentleman on a radio, Steve Craig, who he had the book out called The Empire of the Rising Sun. And so it's really good. It's very good. It's very kind of a heavy book, but really talks about the life of Christ and the kingdom, and it's good. So I'm actually reading that one right now. Been really, really interesting stuff. And his, it's not different. It's not bad different, but it's just a different way if you're looking at the end times and things like that. And but really interesting stuff. Really makes you think. And so I've got that book going on. And then actually, I guess I have three going on at the same time. I started reading 1984, you know, by George Orwell. And oh my gosh, I really, it's pretty crazy how much of that stuff's happening right now. You know, obviously people right now get all, you're talking about that stuff, but you know, it's crazy. Science fiction often, you know, predicts the future. And even though it happened in 1984, a lot of things are happening now with, you know, the newspeak and which is the, you know, history and things getting changed up a little bit. You know, all kinds of things. And I guess, you know, technically we don't want to be talking about this because people get all freaked out with if our government's going that way or whatever. But we do have to watch that kind of stuff, you know, Big Brother and things like that too. And, you know, the state run our life, and it's a scary thing. So it is kind of a heavy read, and I guess the movie's kind of really intense. So, you know, let's see if I'll venture into that or not. But I'm going through that book right now too. Another one, which is came out of left field, which is kind of cool, was, and you know by now, if you've been watching our show, that we all, between all of us, we kind of like about anything, just about anything. And though I'm the sci-fi guy, I do like, you know, a lot of fantasy stuff. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all that stuff, right? And also with superheroes, I'm right in there too, right? So that's kind of why we all can connect with it too, and with you too. So the thing about it is, I was talking to, my wife had mentioned something. She'd mentioned this book called Manacle, and Manacled, I think it is. And it's fan fiction. And when she started mentioning it, I'm like, wow, have you ever read a Harry Potter book before? And she's like, no. I go, well, I want to check it out. So the premise is, it's an alternate story. So basically, Voldemort won, Harry's dead, Ron's dead, most of the Phoenix Order, I think they're all gone. And so they won, basically. And so the only people that probably know, Snape is still around, of course, of Voldemort, Malfoy, and Hermione. Hermione's been in, Hogwarts is not a prison, so she's been imprisoned for, I don't know, 18 months or something, a long time. Well, what happened was she gets taken out, put into a program. Voldemort has decided to do a repopulation program where basically these girls are, you know, they're propagators. Is that the good word for it? I guess. And so, you know, they're basically shuffled off to get pregnant and repopulate the wizard world. And so she gets sent to a house that she kind of realizes belongs to Malfoy. So basically she is now her master. What do you want to call it? So I have an idea where the story is going. I'm kind of thinking about it because they really get into a lot of the lot of the characters, you know, behind them, whatever. But it's interesting to see where what happens to certain people. But it is not, I'm going to tell you right now, it is not for kids. And you have to check off to accept, because it has some adult themes in there. And so you just beware that it's in there. But it is a good story, and it's a slow burn, but I think sounds pretty good. And I actually ordered them on Etsy. Etsy, come on. Amazon gets here before you order it. So Etsy is still been almost 2 weeks. So I got to find my books. So I've been holding off on reading it, but they got me hooked. So I want to see what happens. So, anyways, so that's good. And then, you know what? I don't know. I'm looking at my shelf over here. So I went to, like I said, I went to Savers, and oh, that was about a couple months ago. And, well, you know what? Let me look up here at my top shelf. Yeah, I don't know if I'll get to all these right now, but there's some pretty good ones up here. I mean, there's a couple Star Trek ones I have in here. My wife got me this Convergence, which is a High Republic Star Wars one. Probably get that one. I saw Cloud Atlas, which I heard that was interesting. The movie is good too. But I don't know. So we'll see on the top shelf what I'm actually going to read. But on this other shelf, I found, believe it or not, it's kind of cool. I saw these, there's a whole bunch of them. I didn't take all of them, but they had James Bond, Moonraker, From Russia with Love. And where's the other one? Did someone borrow it? Oh, I can't read it. But anyways, that sounds pretty good. I don't think I've ever read a James Bond, novel. I do enjoy James Bond. There's some pretty good, I like the spy stuff. So definitely check that out. Don't know when to get to it. And then I found one in the car called The Children of Time. I don't know whose book that was, but it went on my stack. I mean, I'll read it. Check it out. Let's see. Okay. So Laura got me. Oh, wait, what's behind that? Oh, this is, is that Poe? Oh, yeah. Poems by Edgar Allan Poe. Now, what's interesting is, I don't know if you know, oh, yeah, you know this, but I do write sci-fi. And Chronolosity, if you haven't checked it out, I am on book, well, two books are out now, Chronolosity, Fistful of Chronotons, and second one was Chronolosity, How the West Was Warped. They are the titles of Westerns, because it's kind of Western kind of sci-fi theme. Anyways, third one is called Chronolosity, The Good, the Odd, and the Ugly, and it's actually the beginning of the War, Time War trilogy. It's going to be six books altogether. I say that because there's another series I want to work on called Microcosmic, and the character in it is very, I guess you could call her gothic, maybe, something like that, but she's very dark, and she's very deep, and so I think maybe by the time I get to that book, I'm ready to kind of tink, you know, help my character Elm with that one too. So kind of cool. The Fall of Numenor. Okay, that one looks interesting. They're cranking out a bunch of Tolkien books, but the war, the Rings of Power, great show. They based it on. They have a lot of those stories in there, and Numenor is still around. So that looks kind of cool because I know that hasn't happened yet. It's probably gonna happen like the second or third season, so that should be kind of cool. And then my friend Matt, who's been on our show before, he has this Geek and Ye Shall Find. It's a devotional, but it's all nerd-based stuff. So, you know, neek stuff. And so let me check that out. Kind of cool. I don't know what else. That's, you know how I feel like? Oh, gosh. There's an episode of The Twilight Zone called There's Time Now, right? And if you're, I'm trying to get my kids into Twilight Zone. You know, some of them get it, some don't. But it's with, oh, forget his name. Holloway. What's his first name? Anyways, he plays a little old mousy guy who loves to read, which everyone teases him because he loves to read, but he's like totally into reading. And so he never gets to. He has to hide down the thing to read the bank vault to read. Anyways, and his wife takes his poetry books and tears them up. Anyways, so one day he's down in the vault, and explosion goes off, and you guessed it, the world's destroyed. And so he's just like, what am I gonna do? There's no one around, and blah blah blah. And so he's contemplating killing himself, and then he sees a book, and then he sees the library, and he sees the library books everywhere. And so what's funny is I think of my stack, because he has all these stacks talking to me. He goes, this week and next month and the month after that, and then he counts off all his books. I won't tell you the sad part, but he does drop his glasses off and he can't read. That's kind of cruel. But anyways, hopefully That won't happen. I don't know. I'm trying to think what off my list down here. Well, I do have, have you ever read the Dark Tower by Stephen King? Now I'm gonna tell you that one too. If you are not a Stephen King fan, you still probably get a lot out of it. There are some adult themes in there for sure. In fact, my wife's got this term now for little saucy, moments. She calls it spicy, and my son picked them too. So that's got some spicy stuff in there too. Wow, I don't know. I've read a lot of these books. So I took a lot of books to school too. And oh, there's Beowulf as a graphic novel. That'd be kind of cool. And there's Alice in Wonderland, like a really old one too. But I don't know. We'll see after that what end up reading. And if you've never read The Invention of Hugo Cabret, which they made the movie Hugo after, it's a very interesting book because it looks like a picture book, but it's a book book. And it's thick, which throws a lot of people off. But the pictures in it are very important once you get to the heart of the story, and this is very good story. Anyways, he did another one called Wonderstruck, and I cannot remember what that one's about, but same concept too. Oh, there's a book that there says Science Fiction's of the Century. Oh, that sounds kind of cool. And then my son got me, oh my gosh, it's Recipes from the World of Tolkien. So you can make Lembas bread if you want to or whatever. That's actually, what's funny is I'm now, my mom was a baker and she loved to bake for us. We were very spoiled as a kid. And when she moved to see my brother, she left some cookbooks behind, handwritten ones. And I'm like, you know what? I keep saying I'm going to make them. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a recipe a week. And this week I made, what'd I make? They're called Dream Bars. So I made those, try them out, whatever. And you know what? Maybe I will tinker with some of that. Sometimes you get a little bug and you want to try something. I don't always get to cook around home because my wife does all the cooking, but you know what? You get a little lazy if you don't use those muscles, so I need to do something with that too. Though I can recommend some really good books if you're looking for this. By the way, if you're a teacher, please, I hope this helps you, and let us know that you listen here. I'm going to send this out to teachers, but the thing about it is, I'll give you some tips too to get kids to read, if it helps. Is that things I tried, but I'm going to give you a couple really, really good authors that are very surprising. Kate DiCamillo, if you ever heard of her, Kate DiCamillo, she did Because of Winn-Dixie. It's already a great book, right? She did Despero. She's a number one, and the one that really got me was called I think it's a Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane. I think that's right, and it's a really amazing book. If you really just take it in, because it's a he's a porcelain rabbit, I don't know, about 3 foot high, and he has thoughts and feelings. Of course, he can't move himself anywhere. He just has thoughts and feelings, and he has a girl. What is her name? He yelled at the name at the end, Magdalene, something like that. Anyways, and he loved his master, or whatever. But he was very snooty and very prim and proper. Well, the stepmother did not care for him, so on a cruise, she threw him overboard. And the whole journey is what happened to him and how he got humbled and where his life went. And it's a great story. Well, that's kind of like a tears thing in that book, but it's a good book. So check that one out. That's a good book. Les Miserables. You can get the shortened version of that, but that's good. And I'm just going down the list here. Oh, The Last of the Great Horns. Wait. The Last of the Great Wayne Doodles. That is an old fantasy book, but it's really good about the disappearance of imagination, I think it is. Super, super good. It's like the Phantom Toll Booth. That's another good one that a lot of people don't know about, but that's a good book for anyone. Narnia. Those are all good. Of course, I always re recommend Lord of the Rings. That's an easy one, too. I already put my plug for my book. You can find it if you want to. And then you know what? I encourage. Oh yeah. Okay. I see it in the back. There is a series which is going to come out on Netflix, I think, called The Three Body Problem. Okay. It's a Chinese. Hold on. Hold on. Hold that thought. Oh, I gotta get that moved. I'm glad my bookshelf's not too far. Okay. So the author's name is. I hope I get this right. Cixin Liu. Cixin Liu, he's Chinese. And it's a really, really trippy, view of the future, but kind of how it would happen, kind of like the Expanse, right? And but it starts with the cultural evolution and moves forward in time. But it's a crazy story. All the stuff that happens. The premise is that we find out there's an alien race that's looking for us. And the problem is that the way that what they call space is the dark forest. And it's almost impossible if you were looking for something or someone to find them, because the stars are so many of them, unless you do something to call attention. And then you're basically putting a target on yourself. And that's what we did. We're shooting messages out there. Doot. And so, you know, this race comes and their planet is and it's actually a real star system, but we don't know if there's life there. And every time the stars are moving, it just destroys the planet, rebuilds it, destroys the planet. So I don't know how they make their civilization. It's pretty crazy. So they don't want to do it anymore. So they see Earth and they figure out, you know, let's do it. We find out they're coming, but it's going to take like, I don't know, 200 something years, 300 years. So we don't have space travel or defense. So it's basically trying to get ready for this attack. And what happens is the key figures in it are periodically frozen, putting in some, you know, I can't even think what it's called, cryogenic freeze, right? And so they pop back out in the story 100 years later or whatever, and to see the advancement, find out what's going on, and then, you know, live a little bit, and then they put you back in. And they're trying to get them, obviously it's a nice little story plug to keep the main characters alive during all this time, you know, from where we are now to, you know, far in the future. It's a good series, though. If you haven't checked it out. And I did see a book when I was digging back here, and I may or may not have mentioned it before, but some guy, I'll get his name, hold on. You make me dig now. Hold on. Yeah, that's the problem. I dig back in the shelf, I'm going to find a million books. Okay, his name is, oh my gosh, I cannot read, Ian Dosher. Okay, and what Ian Dosher did was he took the Star Wars movies and he basically turned them into Shakespearean plays. And so like the cover I'm looking at now, it's The Jedi Doth Return. And then you see Jabba the Hutt, and he's got, you know, that kind of hat. Well, he based Shakespearean hat, red one, and whatever, he's all. Oh, you see Luke and the Emperor, lightning curl going across them. So you have all the little parts of the story. Is that an Ewok? Probably is. And then the Death Star is in the center. And then you have, a speeder bike. And, oh, Jabba's sail barge. But they're kind of cool because they turn into Shakespearean stuff. And I'll read a little bit of this. Kind of fun. This is different. It's worth taking some time. Says, okay, where are they? Jabba strikes Bib Fortuna, who falls. And Luke says, thou shalt with all expedience produce both Captain Solo and the Wookiee, and shall grant our safe departure from this place. To this and nothing more I shall accept. Jabba says, Yakun kunjun kampuna nisai. Luke, my Jedi powers may not work on thee, but still I shall take Captain Solo and his friends. Thou canst yet choose to profit from this plan or be destroyed. It is thy choice, but thou art warned to underestimate my power. Would bring about the end at once. C-3PO, but Master Luke, thou standest on. And then you go. So it's kind of cool. I will tell you, after reading that, it's like I kind of got Shakespeare, and I went back and read a couple of, I think I read, I don't know what I read, but I'm pretty sure I read probably Julius Caesar or something else like that, and I got it. And it's like, oh, that's so smart, because you combine two things I bet he loved, right, and is really creative. So he has a whole bunch of these, you know, the whole bunch of them. I think he's done all the books. I have like three or four of them. Hint, hint, Christmas coming. And they're good. Really good stuff, too. So I know I probably want to. Let me see how much time we've done so far. I bet I talked an hour, haven't I? Oh, not too bad. All right, you can hang a little longer. I think I can. So anyways, yeah. So, you know, tell you what, guys. There are so many good books out there. If you have not read, like, the classics, if you're a Kindle person, they're all free, right? But this is kind of fun, Jurassic Park, Michael Crichton, he's not with us anymore. But his books are very, if you like technical stuff, like how it actually could happen, he goes into all the genome and whatever for Jurassic Park. It's pretty amazing, okay? Well, I always mess up these two gentlemen, Jules Verne and H.G. Wells. And don't shoot me if I get him wrong, but I want to say it's H.G. Wells. He's the Time Machine, right? I want to say he's the one that's very technical too. And I think H.G. Wells, did he do the Invisible Man? I think so. Anyways, he goes into like how invisibility would actually work. It's kind of cool. It's the liquid in, it's the basically the blood and liquid in your body. If you could make it transparent, because your skin doesn't have color, he says. And so he basically, comes up with this whole idea. It's pretty cool stuff. It's kind of like Edward Rice Burroughs and John Carter. He talked about all this stuff, space travel. Did he do time travel? I don't know. But he had hover cars and cloning, all kinds of stuff, 100 years ago, right? So kind of fun. And course, I see my wife's series of the Hardy Boys. Now, the Hardy Boys very well, it's very it's period because basically the way they talk and everything. So realize too, if you pick up a good book, an old book, you're gonna have different diet, language and the whole thing, and it's gonna be different. It's the way it is, So if you pick up Huckleberry Finn, that's just the way you talk. So just I think one of the things that kind of sad nowadays is we are basing books by our culture today. Are you coming in, Skylar? Do you want to say something? Anyway, that's my dog, Skylar. You can hear, if you can hear her feet. All right. Anyways, you goofball. I'd put you on the show if you could talk, but I don't think you can. Or yeah, I know you do. She is my dog that does talk. Do you want to say something? Do you want to say anything? No? You're tap dancing. Okay, all right. I love you too. Okay, I'm gonna send you out though. Okay. Thanks for letting me know. All right. Anyways, where was I going with that? Oh yeah, it's kind of sad now that there's a lot of stuff going on where people are, this book is, things are written in the past, right? Things written in the past where things were. It's history. People talk the way they did. They did have some thoughts about stuff, right? But that's how it was. And the thing about it is, if we remove that, people are going to do it again. And I think really you have to say this was history. There's a lot of issues going on that weren't right. And that's how people, however, but they changed, right? And but they did capture a moment in time. And then, of course, you me and time travel. But the thing about it is, the idea, what is it? He does not learn from history, he'll doom to repeat it. If you remove all those things, people don't know not to do it, right? And so, because you see the end result and see how we fixed it. So I really think that, letting students, now, we have so many different opinions about books, okay? And there's certain things that little kids should not be reading, but teenagers can, right? Because they can handle it. So it's just appropriateness, I think, too. And of course, you have kids who are very advanced, but being advanced and being mature is different. And we don't always have to expose our kids to things that are, and there's some things they don't need to expose to. There's things I don't want to read, because it sticks in my head. And those guys tease me all the time, my other buddies, because things stick in my head and I don't want to. So, you just gotta know yourself and know your kids too. But I'm gonna get off track. Anyways, so. You got a little taste of some good books. Again, there's I could go on and I can go on and tell you all kinds of great books out there. But so one of the things though, again, getting kids to read. So what I do is it's my first 15 minutes of class. I tell the kids I want you to silent read. Again, they can pick what they want. I do monitor, right? And one of the things I do is, of course, they at they're done when they're done, they write a little something about it, so I know that they're reading, and the reward is that when they do finish the book, they get extra 300 points if they do a little book report. Nothing crazy, right? But I do tell kids, if there's a movie for it, we'll watch it. So I'm still waiting for a couple kids to be done. We talk about books. I'll walk around and go, that's a good book, or try to get them interested in things that they might be cool. And I mean, and you can learn a lot from books too. So, I wish some of my kids would read more informational books, but that'd be at least getting them reading. And I really think it's building that muscle because what happens on that LPAC test is they start to read, and because they haven't been reading, they're already tired before the second, and so it's gone on for a long time. And so I said, man, if you just, it's like working out. If you just read a little bit every day, you're not going to get tired when the test comes, because you're not going to magically be great at it. And so, you know, we try. That's all we can do. And, you know, I try to make it fun. I try to bring in different books all the time. I try to recommend things when I can. And, you know, I have special books. I have a special book list because I have some graphic novels that I don't want to get thrashed. So the kids know it goes in that box, you know. And I also try to talk to them about try to take care of a book, because some of them don't know how to take care of other people's property. So we're working on that one too. And if a book gets old, I go, it's like a grandma, grandpa, here, give it to me. I'll take it and put it out of circulation. But, you know, it's a start. So I don't know. You know what? I really hope that, you know, you find a good book out there and find something that you enjoy reading, and have some fun with it. And if you're not a reader, you know what? Find out what you like. Find a topic you like, a sport, anything, right? Maybe like building things. I don't know. But the thing is, there's so many good books out there that to get started. But remember this, though, too. When teachers get you to read, we're not torturing you. We're giving you a skill. And this skill is going to help you for the rest of your life. So it's not something that's contained to a classroom. It's something that's going to help you be successful in life. Because I've heard stories of people who can't read and can't write. And they are so, so limited of what they can do and where they can go. And it's not good. It's not healthy. That's not how it's supposed to work, right? So, you know, I know people can read things on the internet and they can watch videos and things like that. But there's something about reading a book. I mean, you know, that you get something out of, and to finish it. And that's the other thing too. When I've never finished a book before. You did. Good job. And, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, we didn't give up. You got through all the way through. And you know what? They get to keep the knowledge and keep the, you know, the skill. And, you know, your brain is a muscle. If you don't work it, it's going to be flabby. And if you do work it, it's going to be strong. So, and I've heard a couple things about your brain since we're on the track of that. If you were to unfold your brain, if you could, it has so many folds and creases, but it would fill the gym floor. And I think they also said that your brain, when it comes to information, is sticky. So basically, it remembers everything. And you want to make your brain more sticky. And you want to get more grooves. You want to create more grooves in your brain because things stick in there and information sticks. And, you know, it likes that. So make your brain happy. And make your parents happy. Well, thank you so much for letting me just ramble on there. And I'm really hoping we're going to have a recording day here soon. And yes, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So we'll try to not inundate you too much. But yes, we will try. But hopefully I have the other guys here next time. If they aren't here, I'd ask them to come on my birthday. Then I guess we'll kind of proceed forward. But I would like to help our guys get out there. Hint, hint, guys. So thanks so much for letting us... Let me talk to you for a little bit, but I'm hoping we'll talk again soon. And, you know, enjoy your week, go read a book, and class is dismissed.